Thank you, Steve. Good happy Friday morning to everybody. This song just puts me in a great mood. Bill Leff is taking an extended weekend break, so he's off today. We're both off on Monday. He'll return on Tuesday with me, but sitting in for him today is Frank Fontana. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Wendy?
Always a pleasure to see you. I love listening to your show over the weekend.
I thank you. Every Sunday from 1 to 3 is what you're referring to?
Yes, I am.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
You inspire me to make a beautiful home. You helped me make a beautiful home as
did.
You did a renovation of our unfinished basement, and now I have lost it to my 14-year-old son, Dylan, who lives down there. He thinks that's his bachelor pad.
Thank you, and I'm sorry.
Yes.
At the same time. How's it holding up?
It's really
fallen yet?
No, it is really fantastic and just some great ideas. And you and I got together and thought about it and talked about it. And if people need some ideas, how do they reach you?
They can go drop me an email at frank@frankfontana.net. Go to my website, frankfontana.net. You'll find all sorts of fun information over there. But really, Wendy, give yourself the credit, because really it's just about taking your vision and bringing it to life. You're the visionary.
I am not really.
I'm the facilitator.
I like how that works.
Right.
Although I was telling you off the air, you did inspire me to, we have toilets in our house that need to be plunged quite a bit because I have two teenage boys and Jim.
Right. Lots of action going on there.
So I thought, you know what? We need new toilets. So I reach out to you. Where do I get toilets? And then I'm thinking about it. The new toilets seem to be more flimsy than the old American standard ones that are...
Right.
It's industrial. It's
because they're trying to be eco-conscious. So there's less water. There's, you know, water flow going through. There's capping water at certain times. So, yes, you're right. On some regard, it's not the old power flush.
No, it certainly isn't, and we need that in our house. So our water bill had been really exorbitant. Jimmy Mack went to the village hall, paid the bill, and even the lady's like, you're using, what are you doing? Are you taking showers every hour? What's the deal? So she said, I don't know how this works, but she said she could run a test overnight to see if water's being used when we're sleeping.
It's spooky to me. You know, did somebody creep in your house?
You know what? Well, no one came in to creep, but it is weird that they can keep track. I don't know if they do it at the village or they call the water company. Who
the
is the water?
Plumber.
Isn't that weird, though? They could tell how much water is being used.
It's got to be some kind of computer sensor thing that they could tell.
Well, yeah, because you have a water meter.
Right.
And so they were just looking at the numbers, and they were going crazy, and she called us back and said, you have a leak somewhere. A bathroom in our powder room downstairs, I could hear it making noise and for the last probably couple years, and I never really paid attention to it.
Right.
So I took the lid off, and you have all your mechanics in a toilet, and then there's a hollow tube, and that fills up with water. That's your fill valve or something.
Right. You're doing good so far.
Okay, thank you. And I'm noticing that the water is, the toilet flushes, the bowl fills up again, but
does it make that noise that as it's filling and then it doesn't stop making that noise?
Right.
Right.
So this water, as I'm looking, is just constantly going and probably has been for a couple years. So, and it's not a trickle. It's coming out
as... Did it hiccup occasionally?
Nope.
Never hiccup.
Just full-blown filling up.
Full-blown flushing.
So I don't know what was happening. You know, I never like to drink out of public drinking fountains because I always feel that the water just recycles like when it goes down the drain.
So all the spit goes back in.
Right.
But yeah, it's good.
So that's kind of what this was doing. So... Right. I thought, you know what? I'm going to try and replace the innards of a toilet. Go to the local hardware store, pick up a fill valve for $6.75, come home, look at the instructions. Got to admit, I might have had to go to YouTube a little bit to look.
That's what it's there for.
That is what it's there for. Just a little tip, when you are disconnecting the water to the tank, make sure you have a bucket under there.
Yes, or you'll have a big mess.
Yes. So I had the bucket there, unscrewed all the stuff. You don't even need like a Mario and Luigi plumber's wrench.
Nothing.
You're supposed to hand screw it because you don't want to over tighten it. It's all plastic. I did it in probably 30 minutes, and it is completely silent.
God bless you.
So I'm wondering now.
Where's the music? Give me some Wonder Woman music here going on right now.
No, but it's
but
like...
No, seriously, you saved yourself. If you were to hire a plumber to come in, he would have charged a base rate of 50 to 75 an hour.
Yep.
Just to change that tiny little plastic that costs you $6 and about 10 minutes of YouTube time.
Even less than that.
Even less.
So I just want people out there, men or women, my Jim is not very handy, and he's okay with that. And, you know, I just like to try things, and if I mess it up, then you call somebody.
Exactly. Good for you. I'm proud of you.
I'm anxious to see how much our water bill goes down.
Yeah, which makes me think is if they know this happens, the water companies or the villages, why aren't they just putting those sensors on anyway and helping the people save some money?
Because it's not their job to monitor us. We have to advocate for ourselves. Come on, the cell phone companies, if you call them and say, you know, how can we do something to make our bill lower? They're like, oh, there's a special going on now for the next 6 months. It's like, why didn't you tell me? They're not going to tell you.
Even worse.
My God.
Oh, my God. My cable bill is like $400 a month. It's ridiculous.
See, Bill was saying that his is $150. Ours is over two. I mean, that includes internet.
We got young kids who like on demand all day long. So, we're, you know, everything from Despicable Me to, you know, Wicked and all this kind
of
stuff.
That is the difference.
It is. Kids are expensive.
But I think about this, and these are just small problems to have when you think about what's going on after Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah, it's tragic what's going on down there. And you're seeing a lot of these reports all over the internet and the news. You know, you guys talked about it yesterday with that gal who kind of took on the reporter.
She exploded at the reporter.
Which I can get. You know, I mean, listen, it's very in your face and... I think, you know, you mentioned she started out okay, and then she went into the interview saying, well, what's going on? I think she just had a reality moment of this is ridiculous. Everyone gets caught up in that 15 seconds of fame until you realize, oh, my house is underwater.
I know.
You know, these people are suffering. There's a video I saw of a gentleman who was ex-military or ex-law enforcement who was literally shotgun in tow standing in the middle of a parking lot protecting a shopping mall because people were looting during this time. I've heard stories of stealing rims. You know, it's like, come on, folks. I mean, it's a tragic, epic, you know, disaster, and people are still taking advantage of it.
I can't understand the mindset of that. I really can't, because there was an article, and you can find this Googling, the cleanup begins, and they interviewed a bunch of people that had this happen before, either from Hurricane Katrina or earlier flooding in Houston. And it is like this huge, big production when your house is sometimes the second floor is covered in water. I think FEMA recommends if it's like you have to do at least 4 feet of your wall if there's been any water damage. And if it's above that, you got to replace the whole wall.
Yeah.
All this stuff going on. And yet people think, I'm going to go grab a TV or a video game. And unreal. Where are you going to put it? Isn't your house flooded too?
That's what I was thinking. Where are they putting all these rims? Like, did somebody really think this out? I'm like, there's a high patch of land over here, and I have a storage unit. I'm going to take all this stuff and put it in this dry storage. It's crazy. You know, what's even crazier is there's an article just came out in Drudge Report. Apparently, San Angelo, Texas has just approved, you know, they say everything's bigger in Texas, has just approved the right for people to walk around with swords. So you can walk around with a samurai sword, legally. A dagger. You know, like the old Crocodile Dundee giant knife? You can walk around with that in Texas now. And I'm wondering, is it because of what's going on right now? Are people finding new ways to protect themselves?
Is this something that should be enacted right now when tempers are flaring?
I don't know.
This seems like a bad plan.
Do you watch Ray Donovan?
No, but I've...
So good.
Is it really?
Yeah, I only bring it up because there's a samurai scene sword there where he, Mickey the father cuts off some limbs with a samurai sword. And he enjoyed it.
I like John Belushi with his samurai sword. That's what I'm thinking of. Look where we go. Completely
Wait, what's your
different.
Favorite samurai movie? 312-981-7200.
Quick break, and then we're here for you. It's Frank Fontana sitting in for Bill Left today. I'm Wendy Snyder, and the phone number or text line, 312-981-7200. It's WGN. Frank Fontana is here with me, Wendy Snyder. Bill will be back on Tuesday. He's just taking the day off. You talk about this law that was just enacted in Texas today.
Yeah.
Refresh our memories here and tell us the details on this.
So this is coming from USA Today. On guard is the headline. Texas open carry sword sword law takes effect Friday.
Do you say sword? I say sword.
I say sword. I say tomatoes. You know, occasionally tomatoes.
Kevin, sword or sword?
Sword, right?
Depends what what century you live in. Pull your sword.
Great, I'm with Shrek today.
Yes. The picture has literally a guy in a business suit, in a three-piece business suit, wielding a sword. And but you can't take it everywhere, all right? Apparently, you can't take it to schools and universities, bars or restaurants. Hold on, there's a contingency with this one, that derive 51% or more of their income from the sale or services of alcohol beverages on premise.
All right, well, that makes sense. If there's drinking, you shouldn't have a sword.
51%. So if there's 50% drinking on premise, you can carry a sword.
Still, more food.
Yeah.
By 1%.
By 1%. Schools and universities, you can't carry a sword. Polling places, nope. Secure areas of airports, definitely not. Racetracks, nope. High schools, collegiate or professional sporting events, unless the person is the participant of the event and at the location, restricted knife is used in the event. These are sketchy guidelines.
This does include, this went into effect today. On Friday, Texans will legally be allowed to carry blades longer than 5.5 inches in most but not all places. Frank just said where you can't. Yeah. This includes openly carrying the famous Jim Bowie knife, as well as daggers, dirks, throwing knives, stilettos, poniards, swords, machetes, and spears.
What's a poniard?
No ninja stars? That's not included?
Oh, that's a good one.
No, it's not longer than 5.5 inches.
Oh, so you're good.
No, you can.
Well, if you could throw you could carry a throwing knife, I would imagine, Kevin. You're right. You could probably throw it.
I feel like that would come with the samurai sword. You got to have one if you have the other, right?
If you go to Chinatown, it does. You get a package.
There you go.
All right. This is crazy that this is happening now in Texas, where there is, honestly, tempers have flared. There's so much so much stuff going on right now. And this law was introduced by Republican State Representative John Frullo earlier this year, but met with resistance after a student was killed and three others were wounded at the University of Texas by a suspect wielding a hunting knife. So as a compromise, Frank, the measure passed by changing the wording describing the blades from illegal to location restricted.
Yeah.
This is not something that should be going into effect today.
Definitely not. But if I was there, though, and it was, and it was happening, I'd go Deadpool style. I have two swords on the back, Kev, right? Just pull them both out.
Kevin, you used to carry a pocket knife all the time. Do you still have it?
Right here in my hand, Wendy.
As a matter of fact, I do, too. Where's my bag? I got a giant blade in there right now.
All right, there's the difference.
Giant blade?
First of all.
Where is it? Hold on.
It's not I hope it's not a giant blade.
No, it's like
Second of all,
a toothpick.
The difference is Kevin carries it in his pocket. You put it in your bag.
Right, my man bag. All right, let's be clear here.
Bertrand, I don't know if he's there. I just want to know if he doesn't seem like a guy who carries a knife. They do come in handy over the weekend.
Yeah, if you want to whittle or something.
No, see, look,
cut a box.
I come from a long line of old school Sicilians, you know, so I was taught.
So you need to cut some bacala? What?
Yeah,
I was just hearing a comedian talk about how Sicilians like are super dangerous with knives. I don't know why.
I don't know. We come from a line of fishermen and the villages and stuff, so. But let me just make sure I do have it.
But Kevin, various times I have needed your pocket knife.
What? No, that's a knife.
That's a fishing knife.
It's a fishing knife. Right. I told you, I cut bacala.
You're just under the Illinois, I think it's 4 inches or something like that.
Is there a law here for that?
Yeah, you can carry you up to, I want to say a 4-inch blade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel safe around
What do you need that for?
In case I got to cut bacala.
It's one of those things you know you don't know you need it until you actually need it, you know?
And do you even know what bacala is?
Yeah, it's codfish.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm half Italian.
You're half Italian.
But I'm not Sicilian, Northern Italian.
But honestly, it comes from literally my grandfather in New York used to walk on the streets. And this is back, you know, many, 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 many moons ago. And he had to walk my mother to school with my aunt, and he would stay. This was his rule. He had a pocket chain that he left hanging out, but it was a fake one because he had to hit somebody with it. And then, I don't know why. It must have been rough times back in Brooklyn. And he'd keep up a knife in his pocket. And every, like, you know, so often he'd get rid of the knife and he'd give it to the kids. Like, hey, keep this, you know, it's from grandpa. And the parents would take it and, you know, hold it until you were older.
Right.
But it was kind of that traditional thing that just was something we did in our family. But it was born from protection.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they were like, you know, they had to protect their family.
But this is scaring me now in Texas that protection needs to be there again.
At this time.
Yeah, it just seems inappropriate. Yeah. And if this was introduced earlier in the year, today is not the day that it should go into effect.
I'm going to keep track of this. I want to see if there's any, there's a spike in sword-related, you know, felonies in Texas.
I still don't understand your flip-out fishing knife, because at least with Kevin's Swiss Army knife, you have...
His utility.
Yeah, there's a screwdriver. There's
mine's just a blade.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
The question,
I don't feel safe in here today, or maybe
safer. Actually, you should feel really safe, because if the zombies came around and we had to cut their heads off, we would be your protectors right now, right, Kev?
You guys would be running out the door.
Yeah.
Like, here's my knife, Wendy. See ya.
Good luck to you. Yeah. All right, do you have a pet? You do, don't you?
A what?
A pet. A dog.
We did.
Oh, you don't anymore?
Yeah, he didn't pass away. We just had my son's allergies for the dogs were insane. We've had several.
All right, because did you have a dog growing up?
All my life.
See, I have a big dog, Tiki, and
so cute.
Noted pet expert Steve Dale will be on with us after the 10:30 news to talk pet stuff. And I'm really heartbroken when you think there's many stories you're reading about Texas, and there was one gentleman in particular that he lived in a trailer. He was there with his Siberian Husky, and his wife and his teenager went ahead before the waters got bad, and he's sitting there trying to navigate the floodwaters with his Husky. He found someone's car to rest in for a while, and he was there with his trusted dog by his side. Then there are other people that showed up at shelters, and the shelters wouldn't allow the dogs in, so the dogs went somewhere else. A lot of stuff going on. We'll find out all about that with Steve Dale next. It is Bill Leff off today, Frank Fontana in his seat, and I'm Wendy Snyder on 720 WGN. All right, you know what that music means. It is time to talk to noted pet expert Steve Dale. Bill's off today. He wanted me to bring up something to you. By the way, Frank Fontana is in for Bill.
Hi, Frank.
Ooh, hi. Hey, Steve.
Bill wanted me to bring up, and I promised I would, that there's an uptick in salmonella because of pet turtles.
Sounds like something Bill would say.
He's right, to some extent. Actually, what I'm really concerned about that I'll talk about in a moment are dog flu and leptospirosis because of Hurricane Harvey. I can explain that.
What's the connection there?
Well, we'll find out in a moment. I want to answer your question, though, about salmonella. So reptiles can carry salmonella. Some, it seems, anecdotally. I don't know. Maybe this has been studied more than others. Certainly, animals that are in water, defecate in that water, and then go in and out of that water are more likely to carry it. And if you don't wash your hands after handling a pet reptile, particularly little turtles.
We have two Russian tortoises that are about the size of a 16-inch softball, and I am so anal about making everybody wash their hands, even if they touch the cage.
And you're probably okay with them. I mean, there's a huge difference between turtles and tortoises by lifestyle, right? I mean, your tortoise...
One's in water more often?
Right, yeah, a lot more often. I mean, do your tortoises swim at all?
They have a little soaking pool.
Right, very different.
Spa.
It's really their litter box that they soak in.
Exactly. Yeah. Very, very different than swimming, because they would just sink.
Right.
It doesn't apply to... We have a fish. We just got a 55-gallon fish tank with African cichlids. No? We're good?
Cool.
You're not touching your fish, are you?
I love them.
All right.
Cichlids are brilliant.
Not that kind of way, Wendy.
They're really smart.
They're actually so smart. When I come down from the stairs in the morning, I go right to the fish. I turn the light on. They come greet me in the morning, and they're so happy. This one catfish, I swear, like looks at me, and he knows me. And I put my finger against the glass, and I kind of rub his belly through the glass, and just lays there. Is that real? Am I crazy?
You need a dog.
You do need a dog. But notice Wendy count. He has four fingers. So are you sure there's cichlids and not piranhas?
They do. One acts like a piranha. He's a bully.
There you go.
Bully.
But they're just looking at you because they know you're going to feed them right away. Sorry,
that's what
Frank.
I hear. Steve, come on. Don't break my heart.
Well, it's a little bit of both. So they are smart enough to understand that when the light goes on, food comes probably.
Okay.
As my northern blue-tongued skink understands, which is not beneficial now, when I appear and I open the top up, because I used to take them out a lot, or her, sorry.
And a skink is a reptile,
don't
know.
Yeah. Of course.
I met your skink.
I don't want to ask.
Yes, of course you would. Wendy knows my skink.
Your skink.
I held your skink.
Yes, you know my skink.
Go ahead, Nick DiGilio, use that one.
So Cosette...
what a pretty name for a skink.
Isn't that sweet?
An Italian skink. Hey, Cosette.
I think that's French.
Is it French?
Yeah.
I knew an Italian girl named Cosette.
Yeah. So very much like our Cosette, I'm sure. Did she have a blue tongue?
I can't talk about that. My wife is listening.
All right, let's focus, guys. This is like the ADHD room.
A northern blue tongue skink. That's so she has a blue tongue. And I don't know really what I was saying about her. When I come in and I lift up the top to feed her,
yeah.
I used to be able to lift up the top. I still could to take her out. We'd go to school groups occasionally. Well, what's so funny?
She's really smart.
Yeah.
Date night occasionally.
Yeah. Nothing funny about that. Everybody
does
that.
You would take it for kids to look at.
Yeah.
It just sounded funny. We'd go to school groups together. Then we hit AA.
Hang out. Yeah. Don't you hang out with the skink periodically?
No.
That's not what I've heard about you. So she now knows that when I lift the top up, that look what Bill is missing.
I know, and
it's all because of him. What did he ask about?
Thanks, Bill.
I don't even want to talk about it. When I lift the top up now, she knows that I'm going to feed. So when my arm goes in, she's beginning to, looking for food.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to attack me. But nevertheless, she's learned instantly. She makes that Pavlovian connection.
So back to my original question. I don't worry about salmonella.
Not with fish.
No.
Okay, but there is a relation to dog flu. Let's move on to Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah,
because
so,
this is the stuff that breaks my heart.
Yeah, you know, when there was Hurricane Katrina, there was one image, and I still can remember the image of a family on a rooftop of the, hundreds of families we saw on TV on the rooftops. And among the family members was a Rottweiler. And I later spoke to those people who said we were on the rooftop for a day because rescuers passed us by because they would not take our dog. And we would not leave without our dog.
Nor would I. Honest to God.
Nor would I. And most dog owners would say that as well. So we've learned the lesson, I believe. And part of that is law. So the laws have changed because of what America saw during Katrina. So FEMA rescuers must, if they can, rescue the animal. And in fact, they did that. One would like to think, and I do think, actually, they did that. And in talking to people from Houston, they did it because they understood that this was the right thing to do. But in some cases, dogs were and cats and other animals were left behind for a variety of different reasons. I mean, we saw on television that there were several instances of someone being rescued in the household, but the other members of the household were not quite rescued yet. They just didn't have enough room.
Yeah.
Or they would take those with the most medical need first.
Right.
So I understand that. But the effort was made. The other thing is that more than half the rescuers there were private rescuers, volunteers.
Yep.
Yeah, with
the Cajun.
Isn't that great to see that?
Yeah.
People helping each other.
Yeah. So some of them did not take dogs. They felt uncomfortable doing so. You know, they have that right. They're just private individuals. But overall, I talked to a furniture store salesman, a rather famous guy locally in Houston.
Yeah, we talked about him.
Yeah, I'm the guy who started that.
Mattress Mac.
Yep, I'm the guy who started that. And CNN picked up on my thing. And yeah. So I talked to Mattress Mac, you're right. And he opened up his two stores and had 800 people there. And he may still. Can you imagine these furniture stores with 800 people, about 400 per store, and he was able to pick them up because he had these large trucks that you deliver furniture in that was able to make it at least through some of the water. And he just wanted to do this to do the right thing. And I said, well, did you take pets? He said, how can I not?
It's part of the family.
Yes.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I wonder, Steve, he had
dozens of dogs in these stores as well. And in these stores, there was no pet section and not pet section. The George R. Brown Convention Center, where most people went, they tried it without pets, and it didn't last long. Because what they quickly found out is people would rather sit outside in the rain without their pets, and they quickly changed their mind and created a pet section.
But they did have the pet section, excuse me, Frank, because there are people with allergies. You know,
good point.
I completely understand that.
Well, I do and I don't. I mean, that's not how. I mean, unless you are sheltered there for weeks on end, unless you touch the animal. I mean,
but if there's dogs everywhere and you have a lot of.
There have to be a heck of a lot of dogs. The dander does not jump off and attack people. You have to pet the dog.
I know.
Interesting. Well, I wonder in your experience and listening to these stories and following this. Has there been an instance of somebody saying, I'm taking the dog over the family? Like, you know, because I would imagine if we put this out there right now on our phone line, in our text line, given the choice, you're sitting on that roof, you got, I hate to go, you know, funny on this one, but, you know, you don't like somebody in your family. You got Uncle Joey who's sitting on the roof, and you got your cute little poodle.
Well, I think that there are people that would say, all right, take my wife and the dog first.
Take my wife, you know. Please.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But what's happening now is that you have Chicago getting involved. In that these rescue organizations from Chicago, Anti-Cruelty, South Suburban Humane, Felines and Canines, and I know I am missing some that are going down there as we speak to get animals because the shelters are overfilled. I mean, first of all, the shelters, well before this happened, had lots of animals in it.
Sure.
And now you have far more animals that unfortunately had no identification. The shelters are just overflowed with animals. And some of the facilities don't allow animals. So those animals then went to a shelter. So they're just filled to the brim. So communities like Chicago are taking some of these animals. Felines and Canines is taking cats as well as dogs. And these organizations soon will be adopting out animals from the hurricane, and not only in Chicago, but all over the country. The downside of that, we learned this from Katrina, is you had all these animals then bringing heartworm.
Oh,
you know, now heartworm is not contagious from dog to dog. What happens is mosquitoes that don't carry the little bug, the microfilaria, they're called, that's the fancy word, the little baby heartworm, they don't carry that. An individual mosquito doesn't happen to have that, bites a dog that has heartworm. So now the mosquito has it and
that's
carries
it
to another dog. Right. So you had that happening in communities where heartworm wasn't so bad, and then it became worse. Good news, heartworm is preventable. The other thing we know is that dog flu was in Houston before all this happened. So now you have these animals that may carry the dog flu to places. Now, Chicago has plenty of dog flu, so they're not carrying it to Chicago, a community that previously didn't have it. But here is yet another reason to vaccinate your dog against dog flu.
Here's what I'm thinking about. Some of the animals that are being picked up in Houston right now and being brought here, some of them are injured, some of them were found wandering, but aren't some of them people's pets that they just can't handle?
Thinking the same thing.
So then their dog now comes to Chicago. I know it's going to take so much time to get their houses back in action, even if they can do it, but they're separated from their pet. I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't either, you know.
But they can't care for the pet right now, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
So do they get a chance to readopt their pet?
I don't think so. It's not like
how tragic would that be? You're on Facebook and you're scrolling, you see somebody has your dog up in Chicago.
It's not a foster program, you know. There are many someones who have pets that due to the circumstances that they're in just can't keep their pets anymore. So the good news is that they're going to find homes for them.
That is good news, I guess.
Yeah.
I want them all to come to my house.
Me too. Me too.
All right, we have to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. We've been talking about dogs. We're going to talk about little kitty cats when we come back.
Not a fan.
It's Frank. You're not? You're not a cat man?
I love all animals. I just can't get into cats.
You haven't met the right cat.
That's true.
I said that about my wife before I met her.
Oh, boy. That's Frank Fontana. All right.
Not me.
It's 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here. Bill Leff has taken the day off. He will return with me on Tuesday. Frank Fontana is sitting in his seat, and we're here with noted pet expert Steve Dale.
I was very much against this song.
You were?
Yeah, I was opposed. I still am. No, I don't think... Who wants cat scratch fever? That's not a good thing to have.
It's a rockin' tune, though.
It is.
I'm against
guitar in that one.
I'm opposed. I picketed the song once.
You know, and I said before the break that it's not that I dislike. Let me clarify. I don't dislike cats because I almost bought one, but a specific type.
A Maine Coon cat.
I want to know.
They're beautiful.
An African serval, is it?
A serval cat?
Serval cat, yeah.
Like you don't want one of those. There's no way you'd buy one. They're illegal.
I knew somebody.
Oh, my God.
I got a guy.
That's like getting a very small tiger in your house.
But it was trained. No, I'm not going to disclose where and how.
You wouldn't want that.
Yeah, that would be hard for you to
get. Nor should he be doing this. I mean, so imagine the floor.
Right.
And then imagine that you are, who's the tallest person you can think
Steve
of?
Steve Bertrand.
Okay. Putting two Steve Bertrands on top of one another. And then a cat jumping on the head of the second Steve Bertrand.
That's my dream I had last night.
Freak.
Now I want to talk about that.
Well, so, so Steve for the people who don't know what kind of cat that is, please describe what that is, Steve.
It's essentially a little leopard.
Yeah,
I mean, they're
so cool.
They're about the size of a Maine Coon cat, a little bigger than that.
But I thought
about the size of a bobcat. What?
Aren't they legal now?
No.
I read somewhere they were.
They're endangered, right? I believe.
No. This one was mixed with a house cat.
Okay, so my guess is that it was a Savannah cat, which is
possibly
a hybrid of cats, or a Bengal cat.
Let me just explain.
Bengal cats have some serval in them in their history.
Well, I went to this lady's house. I saw an ad, and this is a true story. And she's like, oh, yeah, come over. I'll show you how I breed them. And you know, it's in my basement.
If they're Bengal cats, I mean, they're gorgeous cats.
Steve, there was a panther in this lady's basement.
I swear to God. Right. You should turn her in.
I don't know where she lives anymore. I mean it. I mean, it was years ago.
This is that rabbit hole you didn't want to go down.
I thought I was freaking out. I was like,
Wendy and I would be on the same page here, I'm sure. This is illegal.
Yeah.
And it isn't right for the animals.
It isn't.
I thought it was certainly not right for her. Sketchy? That's not even the word for it. It's terrible.
But it was
and sadly, she's not alone. So here's a trivia question you could take to a cocktail party. Where are there more Bengal tigers than anywhere in the world? And the answer is not Asia or India. The answer is America, because these crazy people
go by them. Some young kid, I think, was just arrested. I read this in the news because he said that he went to Mexico. He paid like $500 cash for this baby tiger.
Terrible.
Bought it from a guy who had a grown tiger walking on a leash down the street.
Mike Tyson.
And then they took the tiger and put it in a tiger place, and they
sanctuary.
Yes,
some sort.
That's what it was. I don't know what it was. So there's some little kitty cat things here in Chicago.
Speaking of cats, not that great to me. Oh, this is the most exciting thing.
I don't know about that.
Oh, Frank, you are gonna love this. It's the Windy Kitty Cat Cafe and Lounge.
Yes.
I knew he'd love it.
Waiting for this.
I know. It's a cat cafe. You know, there are about 80 of them in the United States.
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
Why?
People love it. And it was millennials that began the whole thing. So it began, this whole idea, 3-4 years ago in South Korea, I believe, and Japan. And people would go there of a certain age, and they would Snapchat, and they would Instagram, and then their friends would come.
Overseas, and where did you go to a cat cafe?
I walked past one, but it was in Japan. And then also, they had an owl cafe, which I thought was really
who?
Neat.
Who?
Owl.
Oh.
Ba-da-ba.
You guys are just...
I got it.
Ba-da-bum.
But yeah, I thought that was pretty wild.
And you have your cat Chicken.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I guess everywhere in our house is a cat cafe.
That Wendy Snyder's fast.
Was it busy?
The area was really busy. We didn't go in. We just walked past it and thought it was kind of... And there was a girl dressed as a cat outside, which was peculiar.
That is
okay,
odd.
Can I just... I had a cat, Declan, for a while, and I noticed a lot of cat hair just from one cat. So if I'm at a cafe, I don't want a hair croissant.
Well, then get one of those rollers, you know.
Lint roll your biscuit before
you... But it doesn't mean the cats biscuit are going to be literally all over you, you know. I mean, it depends on whether the cats are or not. But it doesn't mean you're going to carry that stuff out with you. And if you do, that's okay. You're exporting a little love.
A little catnip tea.
Oh, that's
like,
a good
it's like
idea.
Chamomile for cats.
It is. Well, for people, too. I've had catnip tea, actually.
Really?
Which explains a lot.
Have you ever tasted cat food, Steve? Be honest.
Yeah. And dog food.
Why?
Because TV producers want me to when I'm on TV for some reason.
The stuff you do for TV.
The two of you.
Well, yeah. You can relate to that, you know.
I mean, who hasn't tasted a dog? Come on, Wendy.
I used to eat milk bones.
Right.
Or liver snaps. They weren't bad. My teeth were whiter.
So the Windy Kitty Cat Cafe big time pre-opening party is tonight at 6:30. It's in Bucktown on North Avenue. Check out my blog for more information. And tomorrow night as well, Cole and Marmalade will be there tomorrow night, or at least Cole and Marmalade's owner. They are very famous Instagram cats.
Oh, my God.
I'm there. I'm so there.
Yeah, well, you should be. I hope you are, actually.
Instagram cats.
Can I bring a dog?
No. No.
And that would cause trouble.
Cats will not be there. This is the pre-opening event. They have to finish raising a bit of money before they can officially open. It's a private endeavor, and I am so behind it because Chicago is way behind the eight ball, and that we kind of don't have. So we opened a cat cafe finally, just a couple of weeks ago, the Catcade. It's part cat cafe and part arcade.
Are you listening to yourself?
I mean, all kidding aside, it's kind of cool. I like it.
Now, this is better because it's a classic cat cafe. Here's why I love it so much, among other reasons. It's about cat adoption. And this will be essentially another animal shelter. These will be cats from Animal Care and Control that will be adopted out.
Oh, and okay. I'm all for this now.
Yeah. Oh. Cat cafes all over the country are really very successful, the good ones, at upping the adoption numbers in whatever community. So when people go to an animal shelter, they adopt cats, they adopt dogs. At cat cafes, the number seems to be higher. I don't know why. Maybe it's a comfort level of the cafe. Maybe it's the catnip tea they're drinking. I don't know. But people do adopt out these cats, and I love that. Those are reasons number 1, 2, and 3 why I love the cat cafe idea. Also, it brings tourists to, in this case, Bucktown. Believe it or not, so there are tours that will see just the bridges of Chicago. And then they go on to the next city, right? They see certain things, and that's what their interest is. Well, there are cat cafe tours now. And there are people like Kevin back there who desperately will only go to a city with a cat cafe.
I don't know if that's true.
There's a Chinese food restaurant right next door.
Stop it. You're not going to fill in for Bill anymore. I'm really not going to let that happen.
I don't even want to understand that.
All right. And we have to go because we're out of time. But noted pet expert Steve Dale, you can hear him on Sunday mornings at what time?
6:30.
I have heard you. I get up at 6:30 pretty much every day. I don't know why.
Thank you.
Also, check out his blog, especially if you have a dog that smiles. We don't have time to get into it, but tell us where to reach your blog.
Yeah, so stevedale.tv is the blog. It's www.stevedale.tv. And also, this is especially for older dogs. It's an opportunity for your dog to be on a calendar.
I would like Tiki on a calendar. Naked.
I know you.
They all are.
Shave them down.
Steve. All right. Bill's off today, thankfully, because he would have left. He will be back on Tuesday. Frank Fontana's in his seat today. And thank you so much, noted pet expert Steve Dale.
Noted.
Thanks, Steve.
It's 720 WGN. Great job, Bertrand. Happy Friday to you.
Yes, it is.
I love Fridays.
It's a long weekend coming up, Frank.
How are you?
Frank Fontana's here. Yes, he's been here all morning. You just noticing?
I just got here, Steve.
Bill will be back on Tuesday. He's taking the day off. And we are also going to talk television with Kurt Wagner, who runs a pretty darn great website called TVShowPatrol.com. There we go. Hello, Kurt.
Hi.
How are you? Having a little trouble logging in?
Yeah, I'm having some difficulties.
Technology.
He has nothing to talk about right now. So he has to look at his notes. He can't look at his notes. Show is over.
I was just reading something in the Wall Street Journal about how 70s fashions are coming back in style, and I have an 18-year-old son who's been trying to wear 70s clothes for quite some time now, so he is ahead of the curve. But
is the son that was a Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yes.
Oh, he's a rock star.
He's got the fringe jacket, you know, the suede fringe jacket.
He can wear anything. Your son, like that. I'm telling you.
Well, people laugh and say, what are you stuck in the 70s? It's funny, the 70s are coming back. And they put a picture of Starsky and Hutch, which was like, you know, blazers with the big collars. And there's some Starsky and Hutch news in your little
report. Well, we talked about it before that they were developing a Starsky and Hutch, and now it has gone to Amazon.
A series?
Yes, a new series.
Who's playing whom?
They haven't cast it or anything.
I hope Paul Michael Glazer is just in there in some way as a cameo, and David Soul.
It would be cool if they were like the bosses or something.
Yeah, that would be good.
Did you like the Ben Affleck version of Starsky and Hutch?
I didn't see the movie.
You see it? You didn't? It was like maybe, I don't know, 7 years ago. It was.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, there you go.
I got to be honest with you. I kind of forgot about that too. It's hard to replace, you know, those two originals.
They were so like
they're awesome.
Marlboro Man-ish. Like real man kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I used to watch. I remember that show. That was one of the shows that.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Who didn't watch it? It's good to be in a room with people like of the same generation that can actually.
Well,
like,
he's a little younger than us.
But he remembers this stuff.
I'm not that young. Or than you.
Did guys all want to be either Starsky or Hutch?
Well, let's refresh the memory. Hutch was the darker hair one.
No,
and Starsky was the blonde.
No, Starsky was with the sweater. Remember that white sweater with the
brunette.
Navajo print on it? Yes.
Right.
And David Soul played Hutch. Somebody Hutchinson. This is where you need a Bill F.
Yeah. Who was the tougher one out of the two?
Starsky.
Starsky.
Big time.
He was the blonde guy.
No,
Starsky confused. Was the darker guy.
Okay. I just don't, you know.
All right, so it's coming to Amazon. Amazon is making a little bit of a mark now, trying to go up against Netflix and Hulu and such.
Oh, yeah. And that's really never more evident than this month's TV premieres, because Netflix has just a ton of stuff. You know, it's fall TV season, so at the end of the month after the Emmys, all the broadcast networks are starting to roll out their new shows. But Netflix, starting today, is just rolling stuff out. And I think every Friday they have at least five things. And then Amazon's picking up, too. They're doing a bunch of stuff, too. And both of them are sort of competing for children's shows now, too, so that just adds to it.
Forget the kids. Give us some quality TV
to
watch.
They're both doing movies. Well, it's kind of funny because, you know...
Although, Frank, your kids are young and could benefit from this.
I also heard that, which they do, my kids watch endless Netflix with kids' movies and shows. Yep. But they're also up in the game in home improvement programming, my genre of TV.
You've pushed that on them.
I'm trying to. What do you think I'm doing right now, Netflix? No, but seriously, I've heard that they are actually investing into more of like the HGTV DIY channel type of stuff.
They might be, yeah.
Which is smart for them.
Well, you did a great job with Downtown Shabby. I loved your show that you did. And, you know, when all the Food Network and chef shows started happening, then it turned to kids chefs. So really, I would love to start my kids young doing home improvement. I think that's a great idea for younger kids. You feel pretty confident when you do something to fix something at home. You know, why isn't that being tapped into? That's idea for you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea, too, because I remember when I went off to college and I had to do something. I was like,
like, what was the first thing you had to do? Wash a like, pair of pants or something?
Hang a poster?
Like plug something in. No.
clean your hot pot.
or, you know, even after college when I, you know, bought my first house and I had to start fixing things.
That's when you need to know it.
I was a little, you know, thank God for Clark and Devon Hardware, where you can walk in there and they'll tell you everything, exactly how to do everything.
That's true. Now it's YouTube, like you, Wendy.
But I also used to wait for my parents to come visit, and I'd put them to work the entire time they were here. I'd be like, oh, I got these projects for you, Dad.
My dad still loves doing that. He was just here last week, and I can't stop. He insists on finding things wrong with my house to help me, keep himself busy while he's visiting. But then, like, it makes me work.
Well, I feel like I'm doing something for them by letting them do something for me.
I agree with you. It's a win-win.
Because it makes them feel so good.
All right, so the fall season is kicking into full-blown mode, and what are you most excited about television-wise?
Well, I'm not excited about a lot of the broadcast stuff. Some of the returning stuff is, like, your beloved The Mick comes back.
Have you ever watched that? It's Caitlin Olson, who's from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I love that show, yeah.
She's even funnier on this.
I caught an episode or two. It is funny.
It's dirty, and not for the tame at heart, but it is really funny.
Something like Rich Family, Country Clubs I've seen.
Yeah, she's the sister.
She's like the screw-up sister.
Right, she's the black sheep of the family, and her sister, who lives in the mansion with her husband, have gotten into some trouble with the law. Mm. So Caitlin Olson plays, is it Michaela, I think is her name?
And she's...
She's taking care of the kids while they're handling their problems, and hilarity and lots of crap ensues.
Well, and she's great.
And this season they really... sort of become a riches to rags thing because of what happened at the end of last season.
How come I don't ever remember season finales and then I have to go back and rewatch? Because you're saying it and it's like, oh yeah, I loved it. What the hell happened? Why do I forget?
I don't know. This was kind of a big thing. The kid, the boy, burned.
Well, no, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. But am I the only one who has to go back? Like Stranger Things, I know, is starting and it's going to be here around Halloween. I got to go back and rewatch it now.
I remember parts, but I don't remember everything. Well, and especially like those streaming things, because if you watch them all at once, or in two chunks, you know, then it's even longer that you.
That's why I like my traditional box. You know, you can go back on demand, or like for instance, my show is Ray Donovan. Big fan of Ray Donovan. I love the show.
And it looks really good.
What they're doing with this season, which I'm not going to give a spoiler, but the wife is no longer, you know.
Careful.
No. It's known, but it's not revealed how she passes. And the director chose to work backwards in the entire season
to find out.
So you're getting these like flashbacks of like leading up to her death. And the season one is opening with just this traumatic scene and the fights and the family just losing it and falling apart.
And what's his deal? What is Ray?
He's
Donovan?
A fixer.
He's a fixer.
Oh, yeah.
But he goes to extremes to fix things big time.
In a sick way, I'd love to be.
And his dad is a gangster or a former gangster?
Well, his
dad's
a former Irish gangster from Boston. They're all from a Boston family, moved to L.A., and they end up, you know, Ray Donovan becomes like the biggest Hollywood fixer. So if a movie star, you know, gets in some trouble with some porn or gets in trouble and kills somebody, like for instance, I was mentioning earlier this last episode, one of these big movie stars is training for a martial arts movie and cuts the head off of his sensei who was teaching him how to do the martial arts with a samurai sword, by the way, in Texas, and it's legal.
Oh, you guys were
it
just
is,
talking
yes.
about
it. I keep seeing that and I want to watch it. I'm Dying Up Here, which they had their season finale because I kept checking on Monday nights and it wasn't there. So I'm like, oh, that must have been the season finale. And I am still watching Twin Peaks. I'm not quite sure why. I loved the original and I'm up to date and it's weird and I like it and I hate it and I don't know about it all in the same thing and I can't stop watching
it. It's kind of fun. I mean, I've watched some shows that I had no idea what was happening or what it meant, but it was just sort of fascinating.
It is fascinating. I'm a big David Lynch fan. So,
So speaking of that kind of thing, American Horror Story Cult, the new season begins next week. And that takes an interesting, I still haven't decided whether I like it or not, but
can you hold your thought? Can we take a break and come
sure,
back and talk
sure.
about American Horror Story, The Cult?
Just Cult.
All right. I'm getting it mixed up with the band called The Cult. All right. We're talking with Kurt Wagner. TVshowpatrol.com is his website. You should check it out. Our number or text line 312-981-7200. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Frank Fontana. And it's WGN. Bill is off today. He'll be back on Tuesday. That's Frank Fontana. I'm Wendy Snyder. And Kurt Wagner is here. We are talking about American Horror Story. Cult.
Yes.
And when does that start?
It starts Tuesday.
Oh, my God. It's all happening.
Yes, it starts right. Is September 5th Tuesday or is Wednesday September?
Pretty close.
One of those two.
Yeah.
And this season, you know, they're always
Tuesday.
It's an anthology series, so they're always different stories, right? Well, this season's about our recent election of last year.
Oh.
Sort of.
Interesting.
The main character played by Sarah Paulson, who's been in every season.
She's amazing.
Sort of goes crazy after Trump wins. And
Kathy Griffin.
And she sees the psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever it is. And then another one of their regular troop members, I guess, plays. He must be a fan of Trump because if you've seen the previews, he's the one who's sort of humping the TV after they announce that he won.
That he won the election.
And he becomes like a cult leader, like sort of a cult leader. And has,
of all the supporters of Donald Trump?
Yeah, I guess sort of like that. And It doesn't really always point to the election, but it's sort of a metaphor of the horrors, you know, depending on which side you're on, the horrors or the paradise
so
that America now is.
Both sides, because if it's just a one-sided thing, you're going to get a lot of people that
right.
are supporters of Donald Trump that are like, that's it, I'm done.
It does both. And then it throws in lots of blood.
Of course.
That creepy clown from season four. Is back and it's just Twisty is the name of the clown.
That is the scariest clown I've ever seen in my life.
And it's just so weird and you know it's very interesting and it's set in Michigan this year, so that makes it sort of more relatable, I think.
Right.
But I always find I start watching it and it's kind of good, and then it gets so weird that I start having weird thoughts, like weird dreams.
I'm with you on that. And I stopped watching the series after season two.
Was that the freak one? Because that one I had to stop watching.
Asylum, the Asylum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or
the
Asylum
one.
I actually liked. The wasn't it called Freaks or something?
Yeah, I think that was four. Maybe
okay,
it was three.
That one
I can't remember
the
order either.
I couldn't watch it.
The only one I think I watched from start to finish was The Witch season, which of course is the least, to the critics, the least
popular.
Yeah, the least popular and not as good, but that was the one I loved.
I thought season one was just, you can't top it. I mean, it was phenomenal. Like, it sucked you into that entire
it's pretty great.
Brand. You know, and now it's become, you know.
But the problem with it, I think, for me is that it's so real sometimes. Like some of the stuff is so real that it really freaks me out. I mean, I would much rather go for, you know, some superhero thing that I know, you know, this
it's not
going to happen, you know, but maybe that's just me. Maybe a lot of people love this stuff.
There's a show that I absolutely love with Pamela Adlon. It's produced by Louis C.K. It's called Better Things. It's on FX. It's a single mom with teenage girls, which is difficult to imagine, quite honestly. And if you haven't watched it, it's really awesome. That has been renewed. She's up for what award?
For an Emmy for, I think, comedy actress.
It's really funny. Yeah. She does the voice of Bobby Hill on King of the Hill.
Bobby Hill?
Yeah.
Really?
Like Lisa Simpson is done by, is it Yardley Smith, who and is she, also, I'm sorry, Bart Simpson is also a girl. Right. That happens a lot.
And she was also on Louis C.K.'s show. She was a supporting character on there. That starts 2 weeks from now, September 14th. And it's just her further misadventures. I saw a trailer that just, I couldn't stop laughing at it. She's in the car with some guy and he's driving and he's asking her how the sex is with him. And she just shakes her head and like turns away. She doesn't even want to look at him, you know. And just her reaction, I couldn't stop laughing.
She is so funny. I know that you don't watch a ton of TV.
I have little to say here because I'm so envious that you guys actually can watch television.
Can I tell you, if you haven't watched it, to go watch the first season of it and get caught up before it starts? Have you heard about NBC's This Is Us?
I'm embarrassed to say no.
This is the most.
Wow. Kurt, I have
You've
a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old.
I know, but this is
something.
I can
tell you what's on Disney Channel from the minute it starts to the minute it ends at night.
I babysit. I can get that.
All
I
that
understand
stuff.
That.
But This Is Us is something I was kept, you know, nagging at Bill. Please watch this. Please watch it. He finally did. It's just a genuine story about a real family where it's not always perfect and there's a lot of dysfunction, but they all come together. It's just amazingly wonderful. Right. It makes you cry almost every episode. It makes you want to be a better wife, mother, or husband, or father. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
And it was my weekly, if I felt like, okay, I need to just let it all out, let out all my emotions.
What time is this on?
I would watch it. And it comes back the September 26th, I think.
CBS, you said?
NBC.
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 Yeah. And we will get something resolved that has been nagging by the end of this season,
Don't tell me, because now I'm going to go watch it.
Yeah.
Just please.
And they flash forward and back. So this family, you see the kids as adults and the mom old. And then you see them as children or even before they were born, the parents.
I'm already getting emotional thinking.
It's really just, it just pulls on every heartstring. I think anyone can relate to it because there are different parts of your family that may not be perfect, but yet you deal with it and you survive.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it shows. And it's, the characters are all really great. And I give it a total thumbs up.
Some people say it's a little over sentimental, but I don't think so. And
is it uber serious though? Am I going to
cry? I mean, there's some funny moments.
Yeah. Okay. But it's, you can totally, you know, if you grew up in a family that had more than a single child, you can kind of relate to anything in it, you know. But it probably even some of those folks can.
Good. I'm going to stay up an extra hour tonight.
just want, you know, binge it. And I find that I enjoy binging more than waiting each week. Like, I sometimes want to wait till it's all been dropped, if you will, and then just binge because I hate waiting a week for a new episode.
That show, I feel like I couldn't do more than 2 episodes in a row.
Oh, you'd be a basket case.
Couldn't, because I'd just be bawling too much.
Yeah. It's really, I think you'd love it. It's going to make you want to be a better man.
You know what? I could be a better man.
Kurt, great job as usual. TVshowpatrol.com. You have all the other items. What's happening?
Yeah, I have all of September. The calendar's posted on the site. And yeah.
Super cool.
Kurt, thanks for coming in, man.
Every week, yeah. Nice to meet you, Frank.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Have a good weekend.
Bye, you too.
Quick break. We'll be back with the news at 720 WGN. Thank you, Kim. Great job. It's Friday, the Friday of Labor Day weekend. So, Frank, I hope you're not planning on wearing the white belt and the white shoes after Monday.
I buck the trends. I'm wearing all white for the rest of the month.
Frank Fontana sitting in for Bill Left today. Bill has taken the day off. He will return on Tuesday. And I wanted to tell you something about, God, I completely lost
life
my train
lessons.
Of thought.
Do you want to tell me about how to live my life better?
No, I don't have any of that. You're much more positive than I am. I listen to your show.
I try to be. It's so hard these days. I mean, raising two young kids, and I'm going to sit here and like whine and bitch about life, but it's hard. It's hard. Like my mom was just visiting my parents, and they were talking about how much easier it was for them, and they had less, and they're scared for my kids going into the future because the uncertainty. And she's pointed out something like the violence that she's witnessing today versus what they witnessed. Like, yeah, we had, similar stuff. There were civil rights and all that stuff when they were growing up.
Absolutely.
But now, with just random terrorism and all this, it just made me think, and I couldn't sleep at night and, working on my own relationships. I mean, we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Anybody out there thinking or listening or watching us on TV thinking, oh, those, the Fontanas got it together. Okay. You're right.
According to your Facebook post, it looks like you've got it together.
Well, doesn't everybody got it together on Facebook and Instagram? I mean,
that's your best moment.
It is, and it's a big lie for most people. I mean, not that I'm saying ours are. In general, people just lie.
Well, your fun moments, and when you finally get a great family portrait, or you're doing something fun, you're like, look, we're a family that get along. We're all smiling.
But I get that, and that's great. But it's also portraying a false image, which, multiply that by the gazillions of people out there on social media, then we have a whole world portraying, a false image of what they should, live in their own lives, and everybody struggles. I mean, our biggest thing right now as a couple is having young kids, and even you were talking about off air, having older kids, having kids, period. If you're not ready, and I don't know if anybody's really ever ready to take on the responsibility of children and try to also... Because we debate this all the time. Can you actually have a real relationship with your spouse? A real one, like dating, sex.
Some people do.
Who? How? Tell me. If you're out there and you do, call me, please. 312-981-7200. I want to hear it because we're going through it. We're in the grind. We love each other. There's couples who love each other and grunt it out and get through it. But do you live that separate life? Do you, are you doing your thing and Jim's doing his and you meet somewhere in the middle whenever? Or do you like... yearn for that person? Do you want to have those romantic dinners anymore? Do you want to? That's what I'm
talking
tired. About. See,
I have no energy left, and that's the thing. You have young kids, which it was difficult when they were younger. How old are your son and daughter?
Luca is 6. He just turned 6, and Lola is 3.
Okay, that's a handful.
Crazy.
It is a handful, but in a different way, having teenage boys is a handful as well. And it's funny because every time I say this, people will text and go, they're teenagers, let them do things by themselves. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they, I think this is an important phase, 14 and 18, where you're shaping them into what adults they're going to be. And
absolutely.
All of a sudden, Jim and I have found ourselves with much more pressure now. It's easy to change a diaper and give them a juice box and take them to the zoo. But now it's like you have to be careful how you model yourself because they're picking up on everything. And this is like the transition phase for them.
I agree.
So there's a lot of pressure.
Tons of pressure. And I think everybody could, every phase could point out a pressure point that affects the relationship. And we talked about off air how, even little incidences can lead to a internal fight between you and your husband and me and my wife or somebody who's listening and their spouse. How do you then separate what you got to do with the kids with how you want to be in a relationship with your wife? Can you have a relationship the way you think? I think expectations are the biggest killer of it. I expected prior to marriage for us to have this like, oh, we're going to be these parents.
Idyllic.
Like, yeah, idyllic. Yeah. We're going to be detached. The kids are going to go to bed at a certain time.
Good luck.
Yeah. The kids are still sleeping with us. It's like you everything just goes out of the window. And then on top of that, you add in social media.
And you have people who, listen, I don't criticize the way someone else raises their kid because really the bottom line is you love them and you try your best. I never babysat. I was more excited to see somebody's new puppy than their new baby. Right. I was just not a kid person.
Right. That's okay.
So then you have kids and you try to figure it out every day. You try to provide them safety. At this point in the teenage years, with all the anxiety and depression going around, I got to be honest with you. My goal is to see that they're happy and to make sure they stay alive. That's right. Really all the, yeah, it'd be great if they got straight A's, but in the grand scheme of life, I didn't get straight A's. Right. I did okay.
Either did I.
And the pressure that is put on you to, like you said, they're still sleeping with you. There's going to be someone that's going to text or call and say, you know, you're not supposed to do that. Well, maybe they're not supposed to do it, but you do what you need to do to make your family thrive, don't you?
Or survive. Survival of the fittest, really, is what it comes down to, is trying to remain some ounce of sanity through it all. But in the big picture, like, you know, if you still love your spouse and yearn for a relationship with that, and you have young children or older children who are, and I think it's also the type of person and personality you or I have, which is you want that. Most people are content with having the kids and having the fake life of, oh, I drive this car, I live in the suburb, I have kids, but I have zero relationship with my husband and intimacy and love, and it's a big facade to me. Like, that's just fake. You know what I mean? Excuse me for being real. It's just crap. You know what I mean? Like, then that's just, but okay, God bless. That's the life you want to live. You know?
Yeah, I don't want to live that, but it's very difficult. Like, everyone keeps saying we have neighbors who every Tuesday they walk to the movie theater in our town, and that's every Tuesday, that's date night. It's movie night, and then they usually have a date night as well. I can't remember the last time Jim and I went on a date, because it's like the kids have to be somewhere or I have something going on, and it's like I said, Jim, I feel like I'm neglecting you, and when they're both out of the house, I can't wait to sit on that rocking chair with you and down some beers. But until then, it's like, what do? I guess you have to be a better planner.
Right, right. Or make the effort. I mean, I guess that's what it takes. It takes staying up a little bit later, maybe. But, you know, then.
What if your teenagers are up later than you? Jim and I are in bed before our kids lately.
Do you worry when they're out?
They don't go out. That's another problem. Which is kind of great.
My wife would love that problem.
I do kind of like that. When I was, you know, probably starting in sixth grade, it was like every Friday night, who's having the party? I wanted to be out. I was never home. Our kids don't go out that much.
Yeah. Well, we got some calls. Maybe you want to
see. This one sounds interesting. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Hi. I just wanted to, because it brings back a lot of old memories. My children are in their 30s. And when they were growing, where we were living, it was an association and pool and get-togethers, things like that. But I was considered a battle of the better parent.
That still exists today.
Pardon me?
I think it still exists today. Battle of the better parent.
It's the battle of the better parent. And it's very hard. It was very difficult. But we did it.
Yeah, and I guess what determines the better parent?
Well, yeah, I mean, who puts the guidelines there? Again, you love your kids
because you have the ones in their cliques, as we had, and they were always watching what I did with my kids. You know, telling
why
me
do people have the right to judge others? Seriously, if it's not affecting them, what do they care?
You know what? Because it gives them some fodder. It gives them something to do.
Yep.
Imagine, Barbara, if Facebook was around when you were raising your kids, it would have been much worse than it already was.
Oh, you betcha.
Next level pressure.
Thank you so much for calling. Let's take a quick break. 312-981-7200. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about, you know, judging others. We're talking about everything here.
Yeah. And what the impact of, like you just said, today's social media has compared to back then.
We're in a pressure cooker. Pressure, I'm telling you, Frank. It's Bill F. off today. I'm so used to saying it's Bill and Wendy. It's Frank and Wendy today, 720 WGN. It is Wendy Snyder here and Frank Fontana. Thank you for sitting in for Bill Left today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bill, for taking the day off so I could spend some time with Wendy.
It's very fun. We're also going to go to the stream at 12 noon, so you can join us there. Or you can continue listening here on WGN, and Steve Bertrand will have the Wintrust Business Lunch. I say you go with us.
Yeah,
it's more fun. Pinky has called us. Hi, Pinky. Is this Pinky?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Pinky.
Hi.
We're talking about a lot of things. Relationships. How do you have a successful relationship when you have kids, I think, is the thing we're looking to find out.
I feel like, why do we want somebody else to define a successful relationship? Like you were saying, Wendy, every family has to do what works for them. And I think we have to keep in mind that when we have kids, there's more people in the house, there's more people in that relationship. So it's not going to remain what the two people, the mom and the dad, had originally. It's going to be a different version or a different form of it at this time.
Right. But what if you have one spouse that wants to maintain the romantic aspects of the original relationship? No, that was both of us. I'm not going to lie. It's difficult, you know? I feel like, we love our children dearly.
But your priorities are your children right now. They're 3 and 6, right?
Yes. But and I was the one in the relationship that felt that I always felt like, oh, I wanted to keep the fire alive and all of that. It's going to be a different form of it. It's not going to be exactly the way it was before, where you could come home from work and say, let's change and let's go, you know, go out for dinner or spend the night on the town or something. Now it'll be, do you think we could put the kids to bed a half hour earlier and get maybe 15 minutes together before both of us are exhausted?
Right.
It's called a quickie.
Out of it.
That is true.
Yeah, no, and I'm not just talking about that.
It's going to be a different version of it. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be bad. It's just going to be different.
And it'll keep changing as your kids get older and as they move away, and then you'll miss them when they're gone.
Yeah, yes. I agree. It's good advice, Pinky.
I feel like we have to enjoy each phase of it. Each phase is, we can't expect things to remain the same and yet move on and evolve and change. We can't have it both ways.
She's
it's
right.
Going to be different.
Wise words, Pinky. And you know what? I guess what puts the thank you so much.
Thank you, Pinky.
What puts the additional pressure on is when one or other of the spouses are surfing Instagram, Facebook, and they're seeing these glorified pictures of the couple in Tahiti, romancing themselves, and this one's out on date night, and they have 3 kids at home, and they have 3 kids. I'm like, how is that person out on a date like every other night? That's the undue pressure that happens from social media, in my opinion.
Well, I get jealous. I'm like, how do they do it? Pinky gave us some great advice, though. It's not going to be better or worse. It's just going to be different. And Leslie, I think you're the last word on this today.
Yes, my husband and I have been married 40 years, 5 kids, and
good
we
for
are
you.
So in love now more than we were.
How?
And
please
what our
share.
What our secret is you have to touch your spouse if they're home every hour. You either kiss them, like my husband and I have. When he walks by me, I put out my hand, I say, pay the toll.
And Jim does that, and I roll my eyes.
See, that's your problem.
Leslie, you are so right, though, because if I'm stressed and I have a lot of ventures going on, I'm an entrepreneur, everything lies on my shoulders to provide, and I'm not somebody who just sits complacent, and so I take on a lot. And the times when my wife will just come over and just put her hand on my shoulder or acknowledge that and give me a kiss, it changes everything in just that second. It really does.
And my husband always grabs my butt. And that's something that's just a little bit more sexual, but it's acceptable.
Yeah, but it's still...
Like, yeah, mom has a great butt.
But see, now it is sexual can be sexual, but it's also just kind of cute as well, Leslie.
Exactly.
It's playful.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's playful
it's
is
so
the key.
It amazes me how many couples don't touch each other, and when they go to bed, they don't even kiss goodnight.
When we walk
our dogs, we hold hands.
Yeah, it's fun walking down the street holding hands.
Yeah, and you just have to remember that to touch your spouse if they're home every hour in some affectionate way.
Every hour.
It'll make such a big difference.
Great advice, Leslie. We appreciate it.
You'll be much more connected.
Great advice. Thank you, Leslie.
Do you remember the days of making out?
Yes.
I was scrolling down a feed, or I was going to post something. I saw a video, just a random video of two people making out. I was like, when is the last time you've actually passionately made out with your spouse or anyone for that? I mean, when you're 15, don't you do that before? Yeah.
Isn't that part of your foreplay?
Not like that though. Yes. I mean, yes, but you know what I mean? Like that full on, I can't wait to suck your face off. Like that kind of making out. Kev, you're a young relationship. Are you guys still making out?
He doesn't want to answer.
His mic's not working.
Yeah, my mic's not working.
See, I bet he doesn't.
I bet he does. I mean.
Come on, Kev. You're helping us here. It's therapy.
We're doing just fine.
He's still not newly. Yes, he is. No, they're newlyweds, Frank.
Yeah, they're pecking. they're pecking.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
And most people aren't. It's just, I'm telling you, there's something that I never knew what it was like to be a mom, because I, you know, you don't know till you're there. It's way harder than I anticipated, and I have a lot of anxiety to begin with, and then my anxiety is
tenfold.
Is tenfold because I want to make everybody else happy.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, bottom line is if you're happy, it kind of rubs off on everyone else. But I spend more time like, oh no, what's wrong? Can I fix it? Can I fix it? And that stresses everybody else out, because it's like, Mom, you don't have to fix everything. And it's like, but I want to make sure, that's the Italian in me. Yep. And you want to make sure everybody around you is happy and has enough to eat.
Right. So it's your fault, basically. That's what you're saying.
It is.
Yeah.
You're saying that too?
I am. You're right, though. You're nailing it in the head. It's if you don't act in a happy fashion and elicit that and exude that happiness, it's not going to come back to you. The whole family's going to be affected, because when we're in a great mood and we're playing music, the kids are over the moon happy. But if there's turmoil and tension, they're not.
Yeah, but you and I are similar in the sense where it's very hard to relax.
Yes.
And so when we're amped up, everybody around us is amped up.
Yes.
So we need to...
We expect them not to be, though.
I know, because we want somebody to calm us down, but right. It's like, it's just, you know, the energy feeds the room. So, I mean, I know this. It's just a matter of, I'm starting to get better, because now all of a sudden they are 14 and 18, and it's like, my job now is to guide you, not do it for you.
But Jim's a pretty chill guy. Like, I'm surprised. Like, he seems like he'd be your, you know, your...
He's pretty
your,
chill.
Your
he'll
yang
just go
to your yin, you know?
Well, he's so chill that he'll go sit on the porch with a beer or go take the dog for a walk while I'm handling. Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, just, I guess everybody try and, I don't know.
Touch
don't,
each other.
I like the touch each other, but she said more than just touch each other every hour.
An occasional ass grab, too. That's what she said.
Kevin,
Leslie
do you
said.
Touch Sarah at least once an hour? Do you guys, like, touch hands or do something? Or?
I think so. I don't know. I don't really plan it.
Well, see, when you get old and you've been married for 20 years,
relationships.
You got to, every hour. Oh, Bertrand just touched me. Okay, he'll do it again at 1 o'clock.
You better touch me too, Steve.
Did you see me jump, though? That was very weird. I'm sorry I reacted like that, Steve. All right, we have to take a quick break. We're going to go over to the stream. You can join us there. Go to our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. There's a link at the top. And we are going to be talking about the lack of dress code at Evanston High School, something they have done, which I think is a great idea.
Love it.
And Jerry Nunn will be on the run with us. We'll take a break, and then Steve Bertrand with the Wind Trust Business Lunch.